Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of 10 Experience TV, episode 75. This is the three-quarter of the way to that century mark for us, and boy, I mean, I thought we would get here. It's crazy to see that we are here. It's been a blast having all of you, you know, amazing viewers and all of the amazing guests that we have had on this show. Every single episode has been like eye-opening. It's been entertaining. We just love the relationships that we formed with every single person that has come on the show. For those of you just tuning in for the first time, my name is Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how you doing? How
you feeling? 75. I can't believe we got here. 75 episodes. Who would have thought this idea just literally less than a year ago? Summer in the middle of a quarantine during COVID, and we're like, you know what, let's just try it, see where it goes. And we're 75 episodes in. Obviously, I'm having, I think, a technical difficulty being a little behind here. I don't know if you can tell, but anyway, no, it's been an honor to do this show with you, talk sports, meet some great guests, share some sports experiences. And so it's been an unbelievable ride. Let's see where the next let's get to 100 and then see where we go from there. So a lot to talk about tonight, a lot to get into. So I will let you lead it off this time and take it away.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess honorable mention, speaking of 75, yeah. Jennifer Lopez has just ended her 75th.
Jeez. Talk about it. You know what? Yes, for those of you who don't know, Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez have officially called it quits. Our good friend Alex, if you're out there watching, I know you're drinking and having a couple of drinks and you're in the wallow, but things get better, my friend. Don't worry about it.
Maybe he's drinking some 7,500.
Yeah, maybe. But listen, I think that was for the best. I mean, that relationship's been on the rocks for a while.
Yeah.
And it's better that they're friends.
Business associates, friends.
Friends, yeah. You feel kind of bad for her. I mean, she's been engaged, what, like 5 times, married 3. They don't seem to work out. And I'm sure A-Rod will do it, be A-Rod and find somebody else there. So, but it's, you know, their kids involved, like you said, business things and whatever. So it's, and it, as long as it didn't end acrimoniously, that's what matters. So they both move on with their lives. And
yeah. Mutually parting ways. That's the best way to do it. And
if you're a Mets fan, you are happy as can be that this is not happening.
Oh, buddy. That would have been catastrophic. I mean, I can't even fathom that thought at this point. I didn't even give it any thought.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like kind of feeling that Steve Cohen was just like, that was it. That was option number one. And that there was only one option. So I'm happy to have Steve Cohen at the helm for the Mets. Absolutely. And but A-Rod did buy the Timberwolves. I don't know if we mentioned that the last episode.
I don't think we did, but he did buy the Timberwolves. Yeah. Obviously, his top player, Anthony Edwards, did not know who he was, but man. I'm sure he knows by now.
Yeah, I mean, you just say the guy that broke up with J-Lo 3 times in the last 2 weeks. But no ill intent. You know, it's just we're just having fun here.
Not, yes, but we wish him
not looking to blast anybody. So,
and
yeah,
if they ever want to come on the show, if they would, for whatever reason, are watching and they want to come on the show more, please, more than welcome.
After that, yes.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Mets. That's our first place, and I'm feeling good. I know it's April. I know where we are. But, I mean, first place in April is better than last place in April. But, obviously, September is the true test on where they're going to go. But they took 3 from the Phillies, and the final game got rained out today. But it was good to see, and now we're going to have to deal with some snow in Colorado over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Mets right now I think teams are just sort of settling into the season. I mean, as far, but the Mets, listen, they're off to a good start, and that's what you want, some positive momentum as the season begins. You don't want to start the season, whatever, 4-7, or just get off to one of those typical Mets starts that kind of ruins everything. So they're off to a good start, which is good, and they just got to keep the momentum going. I think it's imperative that the Mets win every start that DeGrom has. Don't blow leads for the guy or runs for him, man. Jeez. You know?
And there was also a stat line today that he's thrown well in above the amount of 99-plus mile-an-hour pitches over any pitcher this season.
Yeah, it's incredible.
He's just throwing heat this season, which is not – that's not his forte. He pitches well, and he definitely gets it up there on the radar gun here and there, but he's just, I guess he's on another level this year so far.
And meanwhile, the Dodgers are 10-2 out there in the West.
The Dodgers are, well, speaking of the Dodgers, happy Jackie Robinson Day, everybody. And I mean, 74 years ago, and breaking the color barrier, and sports have changed, I mean, significantly. I mean, you'd be naive to think that it did not change anything, and it was something that was needed, and Jackie Robinson is honored on this day.
No, it is. I mean, Branch Rickey signing him to the Brooklyn Dodgers, and it's just incredible. When you look back on it, and you say, how could people look back on that and say, how did it not happen? But you don't realize the times they were living in. What he's meant to the game, what he's meant to society as a whole, obviously he struggled with civil rights and trying to help with passing the civil rights legislation and voting rights and all that stuff. I mean, Jackie Robinson, clearly a pioneer. He opened a lot of doors for players, and his legacy lives on, obviously, today with the number 42, obviously retired all over baseball, but the impact that he had on the game. And it's just great. It's great to remember a legacy of just a national hero, a national treasure in Jackie Robinson. I mean, you can only imagine what he went through, and just for him to endure all that is just simply, incredible.
It really is, and I think I might actually watch them 42 after this show, to be honest.
Yeah,
good idea. It's a good movie, and
I think a lot of young athletes should watch that movie. And I mean, obviously, we forget our history, but they should read up on who Jackie Robinson was, what he meant to the game, the doors that he opened for them, and not just for them, but the example that he set also as a human being in society. Truly remarkable. So,
yeah, I mean, he was a trailblazer. He tried very hard to get that civil rights movement going. And that is why today is, a day to remember everything that he's brought to not only sports, but the country.
Yeah. So I remember going to Jackie Robinson Day in 1990, I think it was 96 when Bill Clinton was president. And I went to that at Shea Stadium. Remember Shea Stadium? I remember going to Shea Stadium. My friend Brian Sarantoni, we went to Jackie Robinson Day to watch Clint speak and be part of those festivities, and it was incredible. So,
did they start the whole 42 by worn by everybody?
Maybe yet? I'm not sure yet. That might have been a little later.
I think it was a little later.
Yeah, because I remember
it was around that 99, maybe.
Yeah, late 90s. That's when it was.
But I don't think I've ever attended a Jackie Robinson game live.
Yeah,
but it's always nice to see everyone paying tribute. And now they even throw in cleats and stuff like that.
Yeah,
as well. So thank you to Jackie Robinson for everything that he did. He got everyone talking. I mean, and everyone started listening. And that brings us to our next guests, which we are happy to bring on. Now joining us is Matthew Barry and Nick Brenner. Guys.
That was a phenomenal transition, Mike. Phenomenal.
Thank you. I don't think it was one of my best, but it was something to get it in there a little bit more organically.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. So thank you guys for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you guys on. So what's your take on Jackie Robinson Day and everything that goes on every single year with that?
Well, I think you guys put it perfectly. Not only an important day just in terms of civil rights, but as we've seen with a lot of conversation of whether sports should be political or not political, Jackie Robinson was very much the first trailblazer of that, where he was showing something that we've seen in our everyday life on the playing field. And what's great about sport, and you guys have covered it in previous shows, is it's really a reflection of what we're seeing in our world today. So he, in many ways, was the trailblazer for that. And he was not only enacting change on the field, but off the field as well, trailblazing a path for individuals like Hank Aaron, as well as hundreds of others that would come after him. So I think it's not only an important day for baseball, but just in the historical context, especially now, as this debate's been raging on, he's a trailblazer in more ways than one.
Well said.
Yeah, definitely. And the conversation continues to go on right now and everything. And obviously having a lot of important conversations now, but he was kind of the first one to start all of that. So kind of it's great to see the conversation still happening and athletes kind of have that power to kind of speak up and everything.
Absolutely. And you said with 42, I personally haven't seen it, but I know for a lot of people that was their first introduction to Chadwick Boseman. That is just a phenomenal introduction to not only the individual, but to the actor as well.
Yeah. And he's a big, he was also a big, I mean, rest in peace. He was a big activist himself. He wanted to spread the word as much as possible as well. And obviously him being cast as the Black Panther was really no coincidence. There was a reason behind it all. So it's definitely good to see it. And, you know, good to see the positive change in a positive way. I think both Chadwick and Jackie Robinson both approach things in a positive manner, where it was just kind of like a Martin Luther King, just doing everything by the book. So it was always great to see those leaders like that at the helm. So rest in peace, Jackie. Rest in peace, Chadwick. So Matthew, Nick, thanks again for joining us. So tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got to start loving sports. Who are your teams and what are some of the like moments etched in your memory as to when you got hooked on those teams?
Yeah, Nick, feel free to go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm a huge University of Pittsburgh fan. My dad's from Pittsburgh, mom went to Pitt. Everyone in my family basically went to Pitt. I went to Pitt, so kind of been a Pitt fan my entire life. It was the only school I applied to back in the day. They had a rolling admission, so I heard back about 2 weeks after I applied, and I stopped every application ever. So I've been a huge fan since probably first grade. I remember they had a player back in the day, Brandon Knight. And I remember going to Pittsburgh and being in first grade and I wanted the jersey and they only had adult mediums. And it was down to my ankles at the time I was in first grade, but I got it because I love Brandon Knight so much. And finally, I started fitting me when I got to college. So it made sense. And he was an assistant at the time. So I got his autograph on it, which was great. So Pitt basketball and football have always been kind of day one, everything for me. And I was the president of the student section for the basketball team back in college too. So it's been, Pitt basketball is kind of ride or die for me. It's always a huge thing. But besides that, Steelers fan, big Steelers fan and big Nets fan, grew up in Jersey. So the back in the days of Jason Kidd and Kerry Kittles and everybody, and finally them being good now. And then a big Red Sox fan too. My dad grew up with Terry Francona. So when he got hired in 03, I became a Red Sox fan when he got hired in 03, and that was the Aaron Boone year. So kind of brought a little bad luck, but then after that, the curse got broken. So I can maybe a little bit my fandom going with that. We'll take a little credit, but those are my teams, kind of how I got started everything. And it's been a lot of ups and downs for sports, let's say. A lot of ups and downs.
Yeah. Rick is crying inside a little bit.
I'm emo about that.
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but when you said you went to the Jackie Robinson game in 96, that was the year I was born.
Oh, wow. Yes, I'm an old guy.
Kick him while he's down. Kick him while he's down, everybody.
Oh, man. I just graduated high school from there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just graduated high school. But I want to ask, Matt, you're a Boston guy. You've had 20 years of Super Bowls and World Series and Stanley Cups and NBA championships. I mean, God, has there been a year where you guys haven't, your city hasn't celebrated a championship parade or anything like that?
There's been a couple, and it's funny you bring it up because I wasn't really into sports when I was younger. I'm very much a tech geek, so I was all about video games and books. So while kids were talking about sports when they were in elementary school, someone could have told me, and this actually happened once. Someone was like, oh, Ted Williams is the quarterback for the Patriots, and Tom Brady was the greatest hitter to ever live. And I just, little seven-year-old me just, okay, yeah. So I didn't know any better. But then my cousin actually started playing college football around 08. He was the kicker at Cal Berkeley from 08 to 12. Okay. And every Saturday we started watching him play the games in the Pac-12. This was a couple of years before Colorado joined. And that same year was the perfect season for the Patriots. So we're starting to watch football more. And I was a Red Sox fan. That was the only real sport I followed when I was younger because my dad was a diehard. And I was eight or around 04. So I really grabbed onto that. But watching my cousin and then the Patriots, that's when I really became a diehard fan. So my very first memory of the Patriots was actually Super Bowl 42. Oh. I didn't really remember Super Bowl 36 or 38 or 39. So very first memory was the helmet catch. And after that, I was like, okay, I want to see Tom Brady get his fourth. So then Super Bowl 46 rolls around, even more heartbreak. Super Bowl 49 rolls around, and I'm kid you not, I almost had a heart attack towards the end of that game. But as I got older, that's when I started to get more into sports. So you said the Stanley Cup, the Bruins Cup run really got me into hockey, just watching Jim Thomas and all those guys were phenomenal. Celtics, I got in like towards the end of the big 3 year, right when Brad Stevens got in. And I'd say definitely when Isaiah Thomas first came around, that was a really good watch. And then with the Sox, it's always been that way. 2013 was 1 year that I'll never forget. And 2018 was another phenomenal year. That just being able to experience those championships and clearly remember it, because 04 was a little bit fuzzy for me, just being eight, and 2007 was still a little fuzzy for me. So to clearly remember the teams and the players of those 2 years were phenomenal. And then when I was in college, much like Nick, I was actually the president of a student section there, and I had a really good relationship with the men's hockey program there, because getting into hockey, watching the Bruins, unfortunately, the Whalers are long gone.
Yeah.
And the real, like the real spiritual successor for a lot of people were the men's hockey team at UConn when they got into the Hockey East, which was one of the top colleges for, or one of the top conferences for college hockey. Yeah. And I got involved through the pep band there. And I'll never forget, first week there, I ended up meeting the head coach of the program, Mike Cavanaugh. And he found out I was in pep band, and he said, hey, you should come on down to a practice at some point. And I said, sure. And just tell me where and when. A month goes by because I was still getting adjusted to everything. And I finally found the time and the facility, and they're getting ready for their preseason game. And it was either against St. Francis Xavier or St. Cloud State. Those were the only two teams we'd really play. And I walk in, and he's on the bleachers, and he turns over to see who's looking, who came in, and he just looks over, just, Barry, how's it going? And I'm like, so, and that was a really great relationship to have over my 4 years, just being involved with the pep band, going to the practices, and then leading the student section for the men's hockey team called the Blue Line. And that's what really got me introduced to the sport business sector and running the social media accounts with all that stuff. So it's been a growing relationship ever since I was younger, and now being involved with it for a full-time job has been phenomenal.
That's an incredible story. And Nick, you're a Pittsburgh guy, but you're Pitt, the Steelers. Then you veer off into the Nets.
I know. It was
the Red Sox. Like, what happened there?
The Nets were just not, there's no Pittsburgh team, and that was Jersey. So once I grew up going to every game.
But and the then, Red Sox? Really?
Yeah. My dad was a diehard Pirates fan. I did not want to follow him. My middle name's actually Roberto after Roberto Clemente.
Oh, yes.
So my middle name is Roberto after him, but I did not want to follow my dad. So I never wanted to be a Yankees fan, because growing up in Jersey, everyone was a Yankees fan. So never wanted to do that. But I really liked Gary Sheffield's stance back in the day. So I kind of liked the Braves back when he was in the Braves. But then when Francona got hired by the Red Sox, I had met him before because he was the Phillies manager for a bit. And I met him in the dugout back when I was like 5 or 6. And so I just always kind of liked him. And then we got hired by the Red Sox. I was like, it's the Yankees rival. I can fight with friends in school and stuff. Let's just be a fan of the Red Sox. So that's why I'm not a Pirates fan. I picked the right team, I guess, because the Pirates obviously had a pretty bad 25, 30 years or so. So that's kind of how the Red Sox had. I'm Pittsburgh most everything else. If they had a basketball team, I'd be a Pittsburgh fan there. But the Nets kind of fell into that being from Jersey.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, Nets makes sense. I'm surprised you didn't go with the Mets, but I guess that's the same argument as the Pirates.
Yeah,
A little less so. Mets are a little bit better, but it's that big market team, and the Yankees are always in the spotlight as far as that goes. And at least with the Red Sox, you had a chance to at least have some kind of a rivalry or some kind of competition against the Yankees. I have no hatred towards the Red Sox. I like them as my second favorite team. It's really the Mets, the Red Sox, and anyone that pays the Yankees. That's pretty much it for me.
Pretty much how it goes in Boston too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how would it be like in Boston, a Jersey guy going up there and they assume that you're a Yankee? I mean, that's what they call them. How is your, when you go up there, or have you gone up there to?
Yeah, I've been up there a few times.
For Fenway.
Yeah. Been up there back, more so back in like mid 2000s. I went to a few playoff games, 06 ALDS, 07 ALDS, I want to say too, a few games in Boston. But I mean, it's crazy at Fenway. I love Fenway. I've been to like 17 ballparks, I think. And at PNC in Pittsburgh actually is technically the nicest ballpark I've been to, but Fenway, the atmosphere is just ridiculous. That I love it so much. Wrigley is the only one I actually want to get to besides Fenway that has probably a similar atmosphere. So no, Fenway's great though. Actually, surprisingly enough, my two best friends in high school in Jersey were both Red Sox fans too. We were like the only three in school, but we stuck together for some reason. So we also had a few winning seasons back when I was in middle school and high school. So people couldn't make fun of us too much because with 04 and 07 happening. So it was nice to win at least. But yeah, going up to Boston was always fun. Quick trip from Jersey and stuff, but always had my Red Sox gear and everything. And me and my dad would go up and we like to explore all baseball parks. We used to do a baseball trip every year. We'd go to two or three stadiums and one kind of road trip. So, but yeah, miss going to Fenway. I've been there in a while. Need to get back.
Yeah, well, I want to try and go this year if I can make the trip and the tickets are available because obviously the limited capacity and Red Sox games are usually a high commodity. So
yeah,
right now this that they only have.
That's the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they're selling tickets up through May right now, but I'm looking for more down the line. I want to go to the Red Sox Mets game if I can.
They
play in September, so I can't.
Hopefully by then it's good.
Yeah, that's going to be a postseason race at that point.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the Red Sox are sitting in first place right now.
Especially the 0-3 start. I was not looking forward to the rest of the season after that. I was like, there we go again. But they got hot. They got hot. JD Martinez is playing incredible. So it's been a nice little run. They lost last night, but yeah, it's been good.
It's why you play the game. So so tell us about how you guys got involved in social media and what drew you to that side of things, and more so in, I know Matt, you were in the sports sector when you were in college with the social media, and then Nick, just tell us a little bit about what you did and where you first got introduced to it.
Yeah, so I did a little bit in college too with the basketball student section at Pitt. It was called the Oakland Zoo. And I was the vice president my junior year and the president my senior year. So kind of worked with the marketing department a lot there, running the social media accounts too. Back then they had 20,000 followers. So it was a decent size kind of following and kind of marketing things are there. So always wanted to work in sports and everything, and was kind of just used to working in social data and very active on like the Pitt message boards and Pitt Twitter and stuff like that. So always just thought that'd be kind of fun. But then my first job out of college was in social media and social listening. I was there for a little over 4 years and not too much around the sports category, a lot more CPG and healthcare related stuff. But then when I made the move over to TalkWalker, I talked to Matt one of my first days a few months ago now, and he was talking about the sport category and working more in sports within TalkWalker and social data. So I just kind of wanted to dive back in there. And then he's been doing it for longer than me, but back at TalkWalker, but I've been doing it for a few months with him now here. So kind of both kind of goes back to that college experience and really that love for Pitt, unfortunately, sometimes with how bad they've been recently, but started off there and then kind of worked its way back to the professional aspect too, which is nice.
Yeah. And then for myself, like Nick said, it was similar for myself with running the social accounts for the student section. I was involved with athletics all 4 years in some capacity, be it being a member of that student section, or then my senior year, we were running a Players Tribune-esque style account called The Pound, where we were just telling students stories of student athletes off the field. So it was managing the accounts, growing the following from scratch, and then making the content and managing teams of people making the content as well. So it was a little bit of everything. Where I really got introduced to social listening, though, was through my actual program, because we had a digital media and design program at UConn focused in on either animation or coding or business strategies. I was in the business strategies category, and my professor and mentor, John Murphy, was having a social listening course established and a social listening center established. And the funder of that was actually our CEO, Todd Grossman, who was a UConn alum. And fun fact, he was actually a cheerleader during the dream season of 89-90 for UConn. So he came in and provided us the software for the Social Listening Center, and it really became an introduction to what social listening is all about and how you can use it for managing your accounts, creating content that can perform best with your audience, and just getting an idea of what it is fans are really discussing overall. So I was able to, at my senior year, get an interview with the company to potentially work there, worked as an intern for a couple months where I ended up in our solutions department where we're really developing a lot of these use cases and explaining to clients what social listening is all about and how we can make it work for them. And I always had that itch for the sports sector. I really fell in love with it when I was at UConn. And thankfully for us, the company was like, yeah, feel free to explore that. Do as many use cases as you want to and explore that space. So being able to develop those use cases and then have Nick work with me on taking those use cases to the next level, what we did for March Madness and what we have planned for the months to come, has been a really great experience overall.
I mean, that is incredible. And guys, and I'll start with you, Matt, for the layman's guy like me who doesn't know what social listening is.
Yeah, that was my question.
So break that down for me. What does it entail, and how do you incorporate that in sports and branding and all that?
Yeah, so we are going into more of what we're calling conversational intelligence when we're at TalkWalker, and that's essentially understanding what it is everyone's talking about. And that can come from traditional media with your newspapers and blogs to digital media with social networks, and then any other form of data as well. We'll do call center data. We'll do website analytics. So how many people are visiting your site? We actually just added podcasts this month, so we could theoretically say, add in your podcast and see if, say, you guys had a sponsor, figure out where they're showing up in the transcript. So there's a lot of different ways we can really break it down. The best ways we do that is through what's called our PMP, so our protect, measure, and promote, where protect would be more for crisis management and trying to figure out, okay, let's say I'm going to use the Sox as an example. Yeah. When everything was coming out about Alex Cora, would we want to monitor how people were talking about that situation and how he was involved and how it could potentially affect the team negatively? We look at measure. That would be monitoring campaigns, hashtag campaigns, or in the case of, again, the Red Sox, the sock giving that they usually do in September, which I think is one of the best digital media campaigns I've seen, where you're monitoring the hashtags and you're seeing people request, oh, I'd love a sign Alex Verdugo ball. I would love one of the new Boston Marathon inspired jerseys, or I would just love a Fenway brick. And we can see all that conversation. And then the promote side, that would be creating the content and trying to figure out what responds best and how your audience is talking about you. So if there's a particular hashtag that they really clinged on to, how can we insert ourselves into the conversation? Or one of my favorite things is we can actually see what times your audience engages with your content the most. So if you post at, say, 10 a.m. on a Wednesday and it's not hitting as well, we can see, well, actually, Wednesday at 10 is not the best. It's actually Thursday at 3. That's when you should be posting, because then that way you're going to be able to maximize your engagement the most.
That's incredible. And do you guys, and now you guys, with all this information, do you guys relay it back to the teams that obviously that you're working with? Is that how it works, or is it just for your company to put their sort of content out?
So we relay it back to the companies, and Nick can feel free to hop in there. The great thing about our work is that it's really industry agnostic. So while we like to focus in on sport, we can apply the same thing to CPG. We can apply it to healthcare, automotive, medical, financial. And it's setting up these structures and the data. So then that way, whoever signs on with us, we can go to them and we can explain to them, okay, this is what we're seeing, but also give them the structure. So then that way they can go back to their teams and relay this information back to those people in power.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting too. With, I know there's NBA Twitter, which I partake in a little bit as well. Yeah. And those message boards and stuff that I partake in. There's all this talk out there that's happening online that's people are just freely posting out there. And it's a really good way for our software and the brands we work with to really have a better understanding of who their consumer is, what they want, what their needs are, what they're looking for. And I think that just everyone online, like if NBA Twitter is just so active about the NBA, you know, it's, I feel like every night something in the NBA is trending on Twitter, and it's that's just using that data to really pull back and understanding the fans. And again, like conversational intelligence, like we always talk about at Talk Walker, is just, it's all that data is out there for you to better understand anyone that wants to be your fan or what they want, what they need, and everything along those lines. So it's just kind of the power of social media. Is definitely, there's pros and cons of social media, but there's a lot of power behind that.
No, absolutely. And you guys are a great part of the team. You're getting love from other people there, from Rich over there at Talk Walker. So if a brand wanted to utilize Talk Walker, is it like customizable as far as signing up and getting it all going? Maybe they want just one avenue of analytics. They don't really want to know like what the best times are or whatever. All the different things that Talk Walker offers, can they pick and choose a la carte type of pricing?
Yeah, so we would do it by different, what we would call listening packages, where we break it out by topics. And topics would just be like searches on the internet. And what would happen is if you were to sign up for a package, I tend to also onboard a lot of these clients, we'd say are SMBs or small to medium sized businesses. Nick also tends to onboard them as well. And we would just teach them how to use the platform. And the best way I always describe it is with the idea. So we would start them off in their settings section. We'd say, okay, this is the area where you'd write out your grocery list. So what it is you need to find mentions of for your brand, your product, clients, competitors, things like that. Then we would take them over to the analytics, which would be our grocery stores. That would have all the data visualized for them in these little things called widgets that we would have. Then we take them over to our dashboards or our IQ apps, which would be our recipes. IQ apps are essentially these pre-built dashboards where we can just go in, select a topic, and pre-populate the information. I'd say that's like your mother's recipes, where they've been handed down from generation to generation. All you just got to do is pull one out and have it at the ready. And then the dashboards, those are going to be more customizable, where you can play around with the structure and the visualizations and the data streams. And then reports and alerts would allow us to send it all out. So there's going to be stuff that's already pre-built in there with everything from the reports, the IQ apps, the dashboards, and the analytics. Where it can get really customizable is how many topics and channels that they want, and then how do they want to be onboarded.
Gotcha. No, fair enough. Got another comment in here. So correct me if I'm wrong. So what I'm picturing right now is like a SEMrush, where that's a SEO type of dashboard. But we're not talking SEO, we're talking SMO. Is that, so is it like an SEO dashboard kind of setup, but just for social media? Well, SEO is part of social media, I would imagine too. So I guess you have both all wrapped into one there, right?
I would say that, but it's more advanced because we try to have everything in one platform, where we'll have the analytics, but we'll also have the reporting and the dashboards. And it's as customizable as you want it to be. So we can have as many dashboards as you'd want, made by your structure, as well as the analytics as well. And another thing that we really pride ourselves on is the fact that everything's built in-house. A lot of other companies in the industry tend to buy up smaller ones and then integrate them into their own platforms, which could lead to data gaps, as well as just general slowness in the platform. The fact that we build everything out in-house with our product team in Luxembourg, as well as all our other offices, is the fact we own the technology and we're constantly updating it. So that way we can say, if we want to add podcasts to the platform, we can do that. If we want to train new logos into the platform, and Nick and I were always scouring sportlogo.net whenever there's a rebrand or a new team that appears, we're sending that over to our product team in Luxembourg and saying, hey, can you train the logo for Charlotte FC? Can you train the rebrand for the New York Liberty? Things like that.
It's just crazy that this artificial intelligence, this machine learning stuff. I'll get into my next questions after Rick.
Yeah, no, my question to you guys is now, so obviously individual athletes want to build their brands, right? Obviously the Jordan brand, LeBron James has a brand, every athlete has a brand. Do you guys also work with individual athletes? And also in college sports, you have eventually college athletes are going to be able to make some money off their individualism,
their likeness, and that name,
NIL, yes.
And yes. Are you guys also working with the individuals as well to promote their brand, get them all that data and to see what people are talking about and get to help them build their brands?
Not currently at the moment, but it is something that myself personally would love to do. I think this is going to be a major revolution in the industry overall. And it's something that's only going to benefit these athletes overall. We've seen a lot of great companies come out in the space about this. Mm-hmm. And what we'd want to do is, like you said, help them build their brand. But myself personally, I'd like to take it a little bit further where we're helping these guys prepare for their life after the game. This is going to be very much about understanding, yeah, well, it's great that your content's performing well with your team. What areas of interest are you interested in? Do you want to make content around real estate? Do we want to make content around video gaming or cooking? So then that way, when they make that transition out of sport, they're going to be far more prepared for it. They'll have proper connections built up. And there's a lot more content. I could talk till I'm blue in the face, and I've I'm blue in the face with Nick about this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great content that's being made right now on LinkedIn about helping these athletes build their brand up.
Yeah.
And I know myself personally, I'd love to play in that space. And we think it could be an area of opportunity for the company where we can help these agencies and these athletes build their brand up through social listening and conversational intelligence.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so interesting too, like not being in that space right now, but my job before Talk Walker was more on the agency side. So work with some individuals there, not necessarily in the sports category, but in the same way that sports individuals or athletes would be able to use it. And I've seen the power before. So that's why coming in the Talk Walker side and kind of getting more involved in sports, definitely see that power of how individual athletes can really use that social data and everything to kind of rebrand and build that brand and everything.
It's the way I look at it just from it, and I'm not a tech guy, but it's almost like it's like its own cloud, right? It's like cloud where you have everything in there in the cloud. And that's kind of like the platform for the most part, right? That's like the product package, right? It's almost like cloud.
In a sense where we're trying to get all that information organized into one platform.
Yeah.
You have the World Wide Web where there's anything available. It's just a matter of trying to search for what it is you're looking for in particular. So in Nick's case, it could be Pitt Panthers. In your guys' case, if we wanted to look at athletes, we'll have Zach Wilson with the Jets.
Yes.
We'll have whoever we have with the Giants. I know for myself, I'm looking at, just to use some bullion, which is the language, I'm looking for mentions of Justin Fields and Patriots. Or Mac Jones and Patriots.
Yeah, I get it. It's just, this is incredible. I had no, every time we do a show, we talk to people like guys like yourselves and who are in this space. I mean, I've learned more about analytics. Now I didn't realize you guys are working on technology like this. Like how much room does it have to grow? Like how much more runway is there out there?
I think it's just wild too. Like when I was at Pitt in this president and student section, we used to always, like if there was bad attendance for games or anything, and we used to always be like, well, what do the fans want? We have no idea, and kind of just work around that. And now with a tool like this, you can kind of input, like for Pitt, like an example that Matt just had, you can input that Pitt data and have a lot of those keywords and phrases in the back end and really understand when Pitt fans are talking online in different forums and blogs and Twitter and understand what they want or why they're not going to games or why they are going to games and kind of get behind that behavior and everything. So it's from 10 years ago when I was in college trying to do that. And now it's grown so much and it's only growing and getting farther and farther.
Exactly. There's so much opportunity in this space. And as we've seen, it's with any industry possible. A lot of our clients, it's focused in on, okay, what products could we potentially see that our clients could be interested in? Or what's their key concern or pain point around a particular issue or product that they may have? So it's really just a matter of asking the right questions and trying to find the answers in the data.
Wow. Yeah, and there's just so many use cases too in terms of maybe you just want to use TalkWalker for just data in general to help support other data, but can always go towards branding and marketing, could go towards product innovation if you want to innovate a new product and understand what consumers want. Just so many use cases with how you can use the data and to help build your brand or your company or anything along those lines.
It really is fascinating. All the stuff around just analytics in general, and then you got the artificial intelligence and the machine learning going rampant all over the place. So obviously the main point of anyone wanting to sign up for Talkwalker is to improve their brand image and improve their brand reach. Obviously, you're not going to be paying for nothing. You want more people to see your stuff. Does that AI and the machine learning, does that scrape things from these like really popular just pages that are out there, like these crazy influencers? Does it scrape some ideas from like The Rock on Twitter or Instagram, or you got like Charlie D'Amelio with 150 billion followers at this point on TikTok, and she's got her own TV show at this point, or whatever, the Kardashians 5 years ago, and just is a new person every year. But obviously those work. They got to where they had to go for a reason, but obviously it might not mesh with somebody else's brand. But it does that take into account all these like crazy macro influencers?
Yeah, it does. And what we're crawling is online as well as traditional media, any data that you may input with the web analytics or call center data or whatever you have. And then we'll have add-ons where we can get broadcast as well as radio in there. So it's as many data streams as we want to add. And in terms of those micro influencers, as long as they show up in the search, we'd be able to pull them in. And because we're constantly updating how many sites we crawl, as well as using what's called APIs to partner with key social networks, which is essentially permission sharing between the networks and the platform, we're going to be able to pull in as much as we need. And Nick, feel free to interject as well with whatever you may want to add on that, since you tend to handle a little more of the technical side.
Yeah, I think with Matt said before, like our whole PMP, so like obviously athletes can kind of monitor their own brand and kind of that protect. So if they're doing well or they're not doing well, they can really measure that. But they can also look at other brands too. If they want to look at other athletes or other teams and kind of see what's going well for them and change their whole marketing around that. I think that's what's great about Talkwalker is you can really upload any kind of topic or team or player or individual you want to learn about and understand that conversation around them and use that data to either, if it's about yourself, how can we keep doing what we're doing well and learn about that? Or if we're doing something wrong, how can we manage that? But also learning about other people, other teams, and really understanding what they have going for them and how can we apply that to our business and stuff. So obviously the sport categories can be huge, and it kind of crosses all different kinds of categories and stuff, which is huge.
Yeah, no, completely understood. So I have a question. So by data, are we talking pretty much anything goes? Because you mentioned something about learning a logo. So a logo is graphic, right? And a lot of the platforms that are out there, usually you're giving you those hashtag suggestions and stuff like that. They don't tell you what to put in the images that you're posting. Does Talkwalker give you recommendations on how to position like some of the graphics that you're putting in? Because I mean, when you mentioned that logo, that's why I went that way in my mind.
So it wouldn't recommend the graphic or the style of the graphic. What it's going to do is actually point the logo out in the photo. And the reason for that is because sometimes people take photos of things that, let's say the Carolina Panthers, we have a photo of
Sam Darnold.
What?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, let's say we have him with his Carolina Panthers helmet.
Yeah.
And there's no direct mention of the Carolina Panthers in the copy or the text of the post. So no at Carolina Panthers, no hashtag keep pounding. What the platform is going to do is it's going to recognize the Panthers logo on the helmet, put like a little red box right there, and then pull it in the platform, because that's going to be recognized in the logo and that would count as a mention. So that's where the image AI would come in. It's going to pick up on those mentions that don't directly say at Carolina Panthers or mention a specific hashtag of them.
Got it. Guys, I'm fascinated by this also because with all this data and all this information you're getting, I mean, your clients, whether it be teams or individuals, I mean, this could change how somebody performs on the field, right? If they're getting this information, they're saying, hey, this guy sucks or he's not doing this. I mean, somebody can see this and said, I might change this, or a team might change the way they draft or something. I mean, is that also what Talk Walker is about too, being able to sort of give these teams or these individuals information to change, whether it's their performance or how they operate their businesses or things like that?
Yeah, Nick, feel free to take this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think that from my experience too, from using social data, but also working at Talk Walker, that's the data is just so powerful. And it's kind of, you can think about it even in ways of a focus group or a survey and really understanding like what those kind of outputs bring. But this is millions and millions of conversations where a focus group might be 20 individuals and they kind of give you an answer that they think you want to hear. This is everyone online giving their opinion freely. So it's really organic. And instead of 20 people, it's millions and millions of posts. So teams, players reading all about themselves and getting all that data and hearing all that conversation around it about themselves, about their game, about the team, about the experience in the stadium, whatever it may be, you have all that feedback from your fans, your customers, and you're able to make the decisions based off all this data versus just kind of maybe guessing based on 20 people in a focus group or what your marketing team just made up in a room one day. But like all this data from millions of fans allows you to make an educated decision on how to market your team or how to do anything really.
Sports betting is getting bigger. So companies like yours, are 5 years from now, 10 years from now, are these going to be public companies? I mean, are we going to be talking about this on CNBC and stuff like that? I mean, how big do you see your company growing? Yeah.
Well, I can't speak to the plans of our C-suite in Luxembourg, but one degree.
But the industry as a whole, because this is so new. I mean, it's just so groundbreaking.
Yeah, I think, like we've said, it all depends on the growth of the industry. I know we've seen a couple companies go public, but it really just depends on, again, what the company wants to do. Like we've seen now, it's very much a shift towards conversational intelligence. And we always have prided ourselves at TalkWalker about being first in innovation and trying to constantly improve our product quarterly. So we really are going to see where the industry can take us and then how we can improve upon that.
Yeah. It's just so fascinating. You're taking the talk of a Monday morning after a game and you're taking it all in and you're giving it to the people so they can see for themselves what people are talking about. It's fascinating, guys. This is great stuff. I mean, I can go another hour. It's just, it really is. It's cool stuff.
No, it is tremendous stuff. And Matt, I know you've written a couple of really detailed articles on some of the data that you guys have been pulling in. And I know we had something around the Super Bowl and you had something just a couple weeks ago with March Madness. So tell us, you know, a little bit about what you found and what the data found that people were talking about. I guess mainly you got Gonzaga getting upset and not getting that perfect season, kind of like the Patriots.
Here we go.
Had to throw that in there.
Yeah, throwing uppercuts now. Well, what the data was around the Super Bowl, because we had the Chiefs winning, and I don't know what
anybody else was. Yeah, I mean, obviously, those are two huge events and very talked about events. But what exactly do you see during times like that?
So it's interesting. And before I forget the Super Bowl, you guys were saying the Chiefs, what the data was telling us, it was actually all Bucks. And the reason for that, it was because all Tom Brady, he was really driving the conversation for the Buccaneers. So that was really the impetus for us leaning towards the Bucks side. Then when it comes to March Madness or just any sporting event that we follow, one of the things we usually notice is whoever wins tends to get the most mentions versus the team that loses. And then what we always love to track is a little in-house score on the platform called Net Sentiment, where it's only positive and negative mentions, not neutral. So whatever would consider to be not too positive or not too negative. And we can track how the fan bases actually feel over the course of the game. So we can see as a team goes on a run, it slowly goes into the green, more positive. But then as a team starts to lose the lead, it'll slowly go negative over time into the red. And what we noticed throughout the tournament, and this is a huge kudos to Nick, because if it were not for him, we would not have been able to do men's and women's for March, which was very much a huge impetus for wanting to do these reports. So he was able to cover the women's side while I was able to take the men's. And what we noticed is, first, there's a severe gap between coverage in the men's and women's tournament, where the men's, the first round, they're getting all this conversation around the upsets and brackets being busted. And the women's, it was crickets, even for the national championship game, just because I have the dashboards up right now. For the men's, it was about total of, I'd say around 300,000, 400,000, while the women's national championship was around 50, 60,000. So a severe gap in the engagement. And as you go through the games, what we noticed with the women's side, it was more focused on goodwill, congratulating the team on a great season or celebrating the fact that the team won. Then you go to the first round of the men's, it was all anger. It was, my you know, Oral Roberts ruined everything. It was no positivity whatsoever. And as you go through, you see, you know, conversations around teams, especially on the men's side, it was the Cinderellas driving the conversation, where it's Oral Roberts was leading conversation, Loyola Chicago, Abilene Christian. But then if you look on the women's side, it was all the powerhouse schools, your South Carolinas, your UConns, your Stanfords. So I think what we've learned in a lot of this information, I know for myself personally, women's sports need to be taken far more seriously because there's still a lot of great conversation there. And this may just be because of the games that I watched. I was more thoroughly entertained by the women's games that I did watch, which were the UConn-Iowa, UConn-Baylor, and then a little bit of the national championship, than I was, say, watching Loyola Chicago play Illinois or UCLA play, I want to say Michigan. Yeah, it was Michigan. I thought it was Arkansas for some reason. So needs to be more coverage on the women's side as well. But as you watch these teams and you see the tournaments unfold, you see those storylines where the men's, it's the Cinderellas driving the conversations more. And in the women, it's more the mainstay powerhouses. And what we want to do with these reports is every month we want to improve upon them and get better with our coverage. So like with the March Madness, we were able to integrate a new product that we have called Social Content Ratings, where we're taking in how people are talking about this like an episode of TV, which is a huge advantage for something that's really TV-centric like this. Then for April, we want to try and get more individuals in the industry to discuss what we're seeing. And every month, we want to try and build upon this. So then we're showcasing people in the industry. This is how you can use a platform like TalkWalker to assist with your skills.
I explained too that I thought from the dashboards too, I have them up as well, but kind of Rick, I know you touched on it before with the whole sports gambling and sports betting and everything, the whole anger in the men's side versus the kindness in the women's side. The women's side was really just driven by fans of the team and like supporting your team and all that good conversation, where the men's anger, a lot of it was their team's losing, but kind of went back to that betting side, people talking about their brackets and Oral Roberts ruining their bracket or ruining their bet and stuff like that. And that was definitely a driving force in that men's conversation versus the women's, and kind of the anger versus the kindness. And women's team definitely had like their dedicated followers that were, even if their team lost, it was like, we had a great season, this is good. But the men's side, it was all like, oh, my bracket's ruined, I lost money, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the anger is driven by that as well. And that definitely comes out from the data.
That, let me ask you this. Is there a correlation between the data and gambling? For example, we were talking about the Super Bowl. Mike and I, we were Chiefs all the way, right? And everybody who kept coming on, I mean, we had what, like maybe 14, 15 people on that day?
19, I believe.
We had 19 people.
What was the number? 15 to 4.
So I think it was 15 to 4 picking the Bucks, and I think four people picked the Chiefs. And at the end of the day, the Bucks.
And we were two of them. And we were two of them.
So can you, is it going to be possible one day to be able to take the data that you guys get and correlate it to gambling, where people can say, okay, if this is the hot trending topic or whatever, I can pick a winner or I can take an underdog or what have you. Anybody could, it's up to whoever wants to touch on that. It's fine. Because I just find it fascinating. Like all the talk was Brady and the Bucks and they won. All the talk was, and I'm wondering if I can, as a gambler, if I can see this data and I can see this chatter, so to speak, I can say, okay, I'm going to place a bet here because this, for the most part, so everybody is thinking they're going to win. Or like a fantasy football pool or whatever.
Yeah. It's just another sports betting analysis avenue.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess yeah. if it's overwhelming on one side, then it makes yeah. sense.
It's like a world, like, but
yeah. It's something that needs to be researched further into our side, just yeah. because where we are as a company and with the state of the industry after Cambridge Analytica, it's no longer the Wild West as it once was.
Yeah.
So more research needs to be done. But like you said, it's going to be interesting to figure out where the insights are versus the overall chatter, I would say. Because Nick said, we'll be doing our research and we'll have to exclude a lot of the betting conversation at times because we're trying to find the key insights and we don't want a random bot just saying, take the over-under on this team or take the over-under on this team.
Yeah.
We want to try and find those key insights.
Yeah. Well, I mean, guys, I could go on another hour. I mean, I don't want to take anybody more time, but this is fascinating stuff, man. It really is. I didn't expect a conversation really like this. This is great. You got me. I can, like I said, I can go for another hour talking about this stuff. It's fascinating.
Rick gets blown away by this analytics yeah. stuff lately because, I mean, really, it's half of our guests that come on. We end up talking about analytics and machine learning and stuff like that. But it is. Yeah. It's fascinating stuff. And obviously, there's a lot more that we could talk about, for sure. Obviously, we're up against the clock, but you guys are welcome here anytime. So tell our viewers where they can find out more about TalkWalker, you know, how to contact you and how to pretty much get on the platform the easiest way possible and start getting onboarded.
Sure. And guys, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity. This was a fortunate connection via LinkedIn through Jared Barnes and Bryce Only, who run the Athlete Lab on Slack, who ran that event. But then also looking at the roster of your guests with guys like Malcolm Lemons. I was just listening to the Aaron Eastman episode today. Being a part of that roster is
great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really big honor for us. So thank you for that. In terms of getting involved with TalkWalker, you're more than welcome to go to talkwalker.com just to see some of our use cases as well as our blogs. And what you can do there is you can sign up for a free demo. We also have access to what's called a free search, but we'd recommend doing that free demo. Then from there, we should have people reach out to you where we can learn more about what your needs are. And then if you were to sign on with us, then we can get you onboarded and help you learn more about making your business more socially savvy. And then in terms of ourselves and our use cases, we'll obviously have both Nick and myself connected on LinkedIn. We plan to do these reports monthly. We call them social scorecards, but we're always open to whatever ideas or critiques you guys may have. We really want to build these use cases out to serve the industry and show not only how you can use social listening within your space, but also grow our presence within the sector. Because as we've seen, it's an area of real growth. And when you have two guys like us that were always hungry to learn more about the industry, yeah. we're going to want to share that information.
Awesome. Final question for me. What is the hot trending topic in sports right now? There's a lot of stuff going on out there. What is the one thing that you see that's lighting up your boards right now?
Well, I'd say it may be because of the report that we're working on, but there's been a lot of conversation around baseball with the All-Star game move.
Okay.
But what we also see a lot, and this is something that took Nick and I by surprise as well, is a lot of conversation around wrestling.
Not as really? WWE? Yeah. On like WrestleMania,
WWE, AEW, it's really surprising.
Man, I haven't watched wrestling in 20 years because I just think it's like, it's so, I don't know, it's something, it's not like old school wrestling.
Don't say the F word.
No, I won't say the F word, but what I'm saying is I used to watch wrestling back in the 90s, maybe up until like when The Rock retired, and after that I just stopped. So, really? I mean, people watch, I didn't know that. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a very social audience.
WrestleMania was
this past weekend.
Okay.
So I guess it makes sense with the WrestleMania. You know, that's like the Super Bowl of the wrestling. So
yeah.
I guess it, you know, I guess coincides a little.
But even when we look into, we have this one massive industry dashboard that we're updating weekly. It's always wrestling and soccer. Those are always the key drivers. So be it Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, those are the key drivers.
Even in the U.S., let's say with the NFL draft coming up in 2 weeks, is all I have on TV is the draft, mock drafts and all that stuff. Really?
Well, we're looking at an international view.
Okay.
So we're getting everything from there.
Wow,
NFL always sneaks its way in. When Drew Brees announced his retirement, it came up in a little bit of a peak there, even in the offseason. We'll still see Super Bowl show up from time to time, and we're potentially looking into maybe making some content around the draft. Maybe we want to take a Zach Wilson or a Justin Fields and see which fan base is talking about him more. Do Jets fans want Justin Fields more, or do Patriot fans?
We don't. We're saying right now, we don't. We want Zach Wilson. That's it.
Yeah. Or do we think, you know, I don't know. Do we think Washington football team fans want Kellen Mond or Kyle Trask? So that could be a fun little side piece we do while we're working on our big monthly report.
Guys, we got to do this again. We got to get into this again. This is fascinating.
Yeah. There's a lot of, obviously, and a lot more topics could come up between now and then.
Yeah.
I kind of want to look into this free demo and see how we can expand the Playing the Field brand and get on the right path for that. Because I'm sure the trending topic is sports fans wanting to date other sports fans.
I thought the trending
topic that's true internationally, right?
Was A-Rod and J-Lo. I was figuring that thing was off the charts today, though, but I guess not.
Well, it can't be. It's not big news.
Okay, yeah. Matt, Nick, thank you so much for coming on today. You guys are awesome, man. Let's do this again. Yeah, absolutely.
It was a pleasure. Have a great night, guys.
All right, you as well.
Thanks, you guys, too.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. All right. Stay safe.
Take it easy.
Fascinating. I could have got another hour. I literally could have got another hour with that stuff.
That's a lot of, like, really cool stuff.
I mean, you're taking the conversation that I have with my colleagues on a Monday or Tuesday. You're gathering all that data, and you're just like, okay, you're giving it to teams or individuals so they can see what people are actually saying. Like, you're getting the real input of the fans. I like that. It's great. You can always turn off a radio, right? You can always turn off a television. But this is actual stuff you're getting here. It's fascinating. I like it.
It really is. I mean, machine learning, AI in general, it's just,
but that's
a whole different beast, man.
It's another thing I learned. AI, and then we have what's, I've never heard that term before. It's called the social listening.
Social listening, yeah.
That's a new, I never heard of that, right?
I mean, I haven't heard of it in that way, but Gary Vee talks a lot about listening. You know,
well, listening is one thing.
If you're talking, like, don't talk. You got to listen to what they want.
Right. And it's,
and he always says that, but obviously there's analytics behind it and a whole platform built around exactly what Gary Vee tells everyone to do. So,
mind you, I'm not a big fan of analytics with the Yankees did last year. The technology, social media, right? You think Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok,
yeah.
Snapchat, right? You think all that technology, and you say to yourself, all right, that's it. And then you hear about analytics, right? Like, you hear about how they take that data and whatever. This guy hits 26% or what have you. But you see all this other data and all this, you know, social listening and all that. It's incredible. It's fascinating. I mean, it doesn't stop. It's so overwhelming, but it's truly remarkable, man. I like it.
It really is. And you know what else is remarkable? The fact that you got wrestling and Premier League up at the top of these trending topics. But the fact that the Knicks won 4 in a row isn't.
I was going to wear my Mitchell Robinson jersey tonight or my Obi jersey tonight because I was wearing it last night. But my beloved New York Knicks, let me get closer here so people can see my joy. My beloved New York Knicks have won 4 in a row. We're the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. We are going to the playoffs. This is the first time, and God knows that since 2013, we're going to the playoffs. And this team is playing as a team. Thibodeau hasn't played well. I have an issue with some of Thibodeau's substitutions. I wish he would play Obi more instead of just having him sit in the corner when he gets the ball at the top of the key at the three-point line. Obi needs to cut to the basket and just dunk the ball. I wish it would get him more involved. But then, and then sometimes you stick way too much with Elfrid Payton. I don't know why, but he had a big game last night. But Julius Randle's playing lights out. I still have a problem with him turning the ball over way too much. And he's complaining to the refs more and more. Like, enough already, man. I don't want to see it. But my beloved New York Knicks have won 4 in a row. We're playing Dallas tomorrow at 9:30. As I text my friends in the chat every night, vamos Knicks, because that's the way – because we're winning. And to those people that I owe $20 from that bet last year, that's off because the season ended prematurely during COVID. But nevertheless,
double or nothing. That's it. You just
double or nothing. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I mean, it's been up to this point, the Knicks were expected to win 22 games. They're going to win 35 games. I mean, this has been a success. Whatever happens here on forward, the Knicks have been a success. RJ Barrett is coming into his own. I don't care John Moran, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett was definitely the steal of that draft. He's going to lead his team. He's the one who's going to lead his team into the playoffs. He's becoming a better three-point shooter over the season. I mean, the kid's incredible. They need to add a point guard. They need to add another wing shooter. And Mitchell Robinson needs to stay healthy because he keeps getting hurt. And plus, I bought his jersey, and I don't want him to trade him. And then I have a jersey that says Mitchell Robinson on. And Obi needs to get playing time because I got Obi's jersey. And I need him to play, too, because he's a high flyer. And Quigley's jersey's coming next week. So I'm excited about the Knicks. I've watched every game, Mike. Last night, I was dozing off middle third quarter, but I somehow I stayed up. I've watched every game. I will not miss a game because I love the Knicks. Yep. And it's just a great season. And the Nets are just a joke. Like, when they play, they don't want to play. They're saving themselves for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean,
what was it? What did you say? Seven games for all of them to play together?
Seven games for Harden. Durant and Kyrie
what's the other guy doing? Blake Griffin.
I don't know. I think he's playing. I have no idea. And then LaMarcus Aldridge, on a side note, news and notes, he retired today because he had an issue with his heart, so he's taking care of his health. So that guy went down the drain. But you know what? It doesn't even matter because the big story in New York is the Knicks. Period. Stop. The Nets can win three in a row. It's not going to matter. The Knicks are the story, and they're a shooter, a point guard, and a couple of more seasons away from them really taking off. So I'm just happy. I'm ecstatic. Plus, hey. I bought like four jerseys last month, so I get to wear them.
I'm happy for you. I mean, obviously, I go for the Knicks first and foremost, but I don't follow them as much as you do. And you're a lot more invested when it comes to the Knicks than I am. We should try to hit a game before the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ends.
Love to. Let's go to a Knicks game. Take a picture.
I mean, I'm a couple days away from being fully vaccinated with the time frame around it.
My shot.
You got your shot next week. So, if we go like second week of May, the very last week of the season, I mean, we could try it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably sold out at this point, but.
Yeah, we gotta go to a game too, man. I'm dying to go to I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, but I like Citi Field more. It's just more fun, and I'm just dying to walk around there and get a hot dog and just be around that ambiance.
I mean, technically, that was the place that Fan Experience TV was born. Right?
Yes, in the Caesars Lounge, in the mezzanine. Thank you to our esteemed friend Alexandra Eberle, who made this all happen. So, kudos to her.
Yes, absolutely. But I guess. We're up against the clock. Real quick, the baseball is trying out some new rules. The Atlantic League is going to experiment. You're moving the mound a foot back. And then the one that I'm most interested in is this double hook rule where everybody would get a DH tied to a starting pitcher. Yep. But once the starting pitcher gets pulled, the team loses the DH as well. I like that rule. I do not like the DH, if they're going to implement it, if that rule, I think it makes it fair. That's just my thought.
So it
puts more strategy into the game, which is what no DH brings into the game in the first place.
Well, this is the traditionalist view about the DH that the National League should – look, I think the DH should be incorporated all around baseball. You and I had this conversation the other day. These guys are switching teams and leagues left and right. Get the DH in. Get the pitcher out of the game. He can't hit. The game is screaming for more offense. Get the guy who can't hit out of there. He's becoming like a specialist. The pitcher's becoming like a kick returner now in the NFL. That's what he's becoming. He's a pitcher. So let him have his specialty, which is pitching, right? He's like a punter. That's what he is. He's a kicker. He's a punter. Let him pitch, right? Let the hitters hit. You get the DH in the National League. You get him hitting. I like the double hook rule where everybody – the DH goes, that means that you're going to be switching pitchers in and out. So you're going to be doing more pinch hitting. It allows you to expand the roster to add more players. I like it. The other rules, all these people are crying about the other rules, like the 7-inning double headers. I have no problem at all. I mean, the game's as long as it is.
I think that's just the COVID, but honestly.
I like the extra innings one with the runners on second. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that too. But you know what the thing is? I kind of watching a couple of these 7-inning games kind of makes me want baseball moved down to 7 innings.
Right? Because
They're shorter. There's the pitching situation is much different. And I guess maybe me being a Mets fan and always having an atrocious bullpen Yeah. Maybe that's why it skews me more towards, hey, let's just have 7-inning games all the time.
Well, I don't think they're going to do that, but I think they might consider
they're not
off like 10 games off the schedule. They do. That might be the best way to go.
Yeah. Well, let's see how it all plays out with the Atlantic League and these new rules they're going to try out. But it's going to be a couple years down the line before MLB even talks about implementing them. So we'll see. It's interesting to watch for.
Oh, but by the way, there was a no-hitter thrown the other day.
Yeah. And there was a no-hitter, and then was there one last night, too? Or there was
tonight. I don't know if it was Rodon threw a no-hitter, lost a perfect game. But the guy, he no-hit the Indians. That's what it was. Last night, 8-0, he hit the Indians. This guy's pitching lights out, man. It's incredible. So, special shout-out to him and his no-hitter.
Okay. All right. Well, I got to call it.
Let's call it.
So we will be back on Tuesday night with the team behind playing the field. So talking about the social media stuff and the people behind all the social media behind playing the field and what you see here, they will be joining us on the show. Tremendous interns. We want to give them an opportunity to showcase themselves for future work in the industry because they all deserve it. So we will see you on Tuesday night, everybody. Peace. Have a great weekend and enjoy the games.
Enjoy the Knicks Friday and Sunday.
There you go. Good night.
Night.